Welcome back to the latest episode of the EIQ Cast. My name is Ross Levanto, your host, and I'm joined today, as always, so it seems, by EIQ Network's product evangelist, John Linkus. John, welcome back.
Thanks, Ross. Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening in today.
Our topic today is energy, a new industry for us to discuss, and it's because of some news reports that surfaced over the last week about some security vulnerabilities within the software that powers advanced metering infrastructure, becoming more and more common, or at least beginning to be deployed, certain energy systems around the United States. And John, perhaps to start out, could you give us just a summary of what we're hearing about related to these vulnerabilities and an upcoming presentation next month at Black Hat?
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, the items or the components that we're talking about are, as you mentioned, Ross, something called advanced metering infrastructure. And, you know, the common name for those are smart meters. And really what they are pieces of hardware with an embedded operating system and software that are going to get installed within customers' homes as part of the regular energy distribution and delivery system. Interestingly enough, the reason that these are going into play has a lot to do with the stimulus package that we talked about on a few podcasts ago. That has a lot of money in it for the healthcare industry. It also had a lot of money in it for the energy industry as well, in order for utility companies to try and really get green in terms of ensuring that, you know, customers get electricity, but that electricity is properly regulated, and that you know, temperatures are more consistent, and that you know, they can do rolling decreases in the amount of electricity that's going through these devices at any given time.
It's part of it's part of making the grid more intelligent, right?
Exactly. So the problem that was recently discovered by Mike Davis, who is a pretty well-known independent information security researcher, is that these AMI devices have a lot of problems with them in terms of their security profile. Some of the things that he and his team were able to do were things like install root kits on the systems. They were able to identify that these devices were using some inappropriate network protocols and services and using them in inappropriate ways. And in effect, they were able to weaponize those attack vectors, and they allowed them to get full control of everything that those smart meters do, including things like turning them on and off, communication configurations, and IP addressing. And in a nutshell, that presents a big problem both for the consumer and for the energy company. It presents a problem for the consumer in that, you know, obviously if your power gets turned off remotely and yet you're paid up, obviously that's very problematic. And, of course, for the companies themselves, in theory, although I don't know that this particular attack vector was done, but in theory, they could go in and simply say, okay, usage is zero, and then regardless of the actual amount of energy that's coming into the house, you know, cutting off the revenue stream to the energy company, or at least bringing down the amount that's actually reported to ensure that the bill is lower than what the actual amount of electrical usage is. So, you know, some pretty significant vulnerabilities that exist in this infrastructure.
And from a larger perspective, it brings up a topic related to the energy industry and, you know, control and protection and IT security, I guess security in general, because we're talking about software. And there have been regulations, John, on the energy industry related to, you know, how they must safeguard or protect their networks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's the NERC SIP regulations, and you know, those SIP regulations are really standards for the energy industry that the energy industry created for themselves, that basically say you know, you need to apply a degree of security around your information assets and other data that you're working with. And the SIP standards, for example, mandate that when an organization implements a system, which presumably would include smart grid and other AMI technology, that they're checking those systems for vulnerabilities, that they're ensuring that you know, the common vulnerabilities don't exist, and that they're using secure coding practices and techniques. All of that is mandated within the SIP regulations. So, you know, what it really begs the question is one of two questions. First off, Does the energy industry consider these AMI components and smart grid components to be really covered by NERC? Do they really consider it to be a key component of their energy delivery infrastructure? And, of course, you know what my opinion on that is. Absolutely, they should be. If they're not, you know, the question is why. Flip side of the coin, if they are considered by the energy industry to be a key component of the energy distribution system and therefore covered under NERC, you know, why are they not, why are these vulnerabilities existing on equipment that is put at probably the most vulnerable point on the energy distribution chain, which is, of course, the customer premise side, whether it's the residential homeowner or the commercial organization.
Let's talk just in general about compliance, I guess, from the perspective of the energy companies. We talk a lot on these podcasts about ways to automate compliance, and it's even though it's a different industry, different set of companies, different set of standards, in terms of the, what they need to automate and the systems they need to look at and the data they need to correlate, is it pretty much all the same? Are we talking about the same type of system here?
Yeah, there are certainly variances. You know, the data, the specifics of the data that they're going to be looking for are different than, say, you know, and I would call this type of system analogous to what you would find with a large retail organization that has to deal with PCI, for example, right? They, you know, are they looking for PCI compliance and data and monitoring that on the POS system that actually processes credit cards? Absolutely. And I think that's analogous to what the energy industry is dealing with here. They're looking for the, for data, on these, the, you know, these AMI components, you know, like smart grid units, but you know, there are slight differences, but they're still relying on the same types of technologies. They're relying on common protocols like, you know, like IP. They're relying on common application layer protocols, probably SSH and SSL to communicate with these devices. They're looking at the same types of core underlying hardware and operating system infrastructure that you would find on, you know, in their own data centers.
You look at it from a parallel perspective and you say, you know, a lot of the attention, I'm being really general here, but a lot of the attention given to PCI and retail companies and security about retail really blossomed when there were new approaches to exchanging credit card information, you know, exchanging credit card information online. And you can kind of almost sense that with some of the smart metering technology and the innovation happening within the energy sector, there might be a similar increase in attention to some of these regulations about, you know, close control of information on the energy side. Is that, am I reaching too far there, or is that somewhat?
No, I don't think you're reaching at all, Ross. I would actually put you as a qualified visionary for a statement like that. That's very cogent.
I do hope my mother's listening. But go ahead.
Exactly. So, you know, what I think we're seeing is the fact that you know, historically, energy distributors in particular have relied on very proprietary systems, and they still do in many ways, particularly around energy generation. But, you know, for example, the components that used to be installed and in most homes still are installed on premise, you know, those little glass covered dials that spin around and show how much energy you're using, for example. All of that historically has been very proprietary. It's been electromechanical, you know, less electronic, and now these organizations are trying to rely on more modern technology, more standardized technology, like, you know, electronic and software, you know, common software and hardware platform technologies, in order to replicate that, because it gives them a better degree of control. They're less expensive to deploy, and they can do a lot more management with them. The problem, as you cogently pointed out, is that exposes them to more well-known threats, and particularly electronic threats. Once you start using a protocol like IP and you get away from, you know, electromechanical types of controllers, it becomes, you know, it's a whole new ballgame where you're opening yourself up to potential attack, particularly if, you know, if somebody can easily connect into that network and cause havoc.
Definitely a very interesting topic, and one we're going to be watching very carefully, and certainly we'll be following through the EIQ Network's blog. So if you haven't subscribed to the RSS feed in your reader, your blog reader, you should right after this podcast. But, John, that's all the time we have today, and thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast.
Absolutely, Ross. Thanks again, everyone.
And for everyone listening, this has been the EIQ Cast.
This podcast was produced by EIQ Networks, a provider of enterprise security and compliance management solutions. For more information, visit EIQ Networks on the web at www.eiqnetworks.com. EIQ Networks, security and compliance management, redefined.